Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this March 28th, 2023. 9:04 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And we have in studio with us right now our good friends from Nakusa Walleye Days. We've got Nakusa Mayor Dan Carlson with us. Good morning, Dan.
Morning.
And we have Howard Freeman with us. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
And good, I appreciate you guys being here. Thanks so much for the time, you two. I want to dive right into this. And Nakusa Walleye Days going on right now, kicked off on the 25th. It'll be going till April 16th. Guys, let's treat this as if somebody's coming to town here. They're coming in on the air, are listening right now, and they have not heard of Nakusa Walleye Days before. That one person in the world that hasn't heard of this event yet. Let's kick things off with how long this event has been going on. How long has this event been taking place, Howard?
It's about 38, 39 years, I
thought,
believe.
So.
My dad founded it back in, I believe it was early 80s.
What was the purpose, the original mission behind it?
Oh, my father owned Freeman's Bait and Tackle, and we were always into fishing and stuff like that. So we thought we'd get the community involved as best we could.
When it when those early days, do you remember some of those early days of planning, of building this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had a lot of people involved. It was a great time.
Forgive me if it's too close to the chest here, but was he around to be able to see some of the like evolution of the Walleye Days?
Oh, absolutely. Cool. My dad was chairman of Walleye Days for 30 years.
Okay. When it comes to the event, how's it grown over the years to, from your perspective, like to really encompass the really embrace the city of Nakusa and to really bring like people to fishing?
Oh, absolutely. We have all kinds of people come over fishing from all over the area, Minnesota, Iowa, all over the country. It really has grown to be a great, great big fishing tournament for us.
When it comes to the planning for this event, you guys, I imagine that you're already working on next year. That this is one of those events that it takes that kind of long of planning, that you've got to work on this almost as soon as on April 17th, when the next day after this event, you're already kicking into 2024 and that kind of thing. Is that how this works, Dan? Or is this something that it doesn't take as much work as I would think it does?
Well, I guess for the recent years, we've had a kind of a core group of four of us that have really stepped up and made things a little bit more smooth, I should say. And to go along with that, something that people maybe not aware of recently, there was a couple of women that have developed a nonprofit called For Nakusa. They originally were volunteers with the Christmas decorations and everything that goes on for Christmas. And Walleye Days is probably going to be falling under that nonprofit for next year. So that's going to give us more opportunities, hopefully probably spreading out the responsibilities, getting us a little bit more volunteers and be able to do a lot more things, which I'm pretty excited about.
When we talk about the event growing and evolving, I think of different things for the kids and stuff like that. That's a huge like development. That's a huge growth for this event. That could really help out a lot of ways, especially because one of the focuses I like to do when we talk about these events and you guys join us is certainly talk about the volunteers. And I mean, I can't even imagine how many volunteers it takes to make something like this happen, not just to make bring us to the event, but make the event happen and continue to go on throughout this week's here for the event. So when it comes to them, we do want to thank all the volunteers, all the people that help out with this. Of course, the great city of Nakusa hosting the event that do such a great job with this. This is have a lot of things that are fun about this event, a lot of organic things that happen, the conversations. I know in years past doing this with my papa and stuff, we would run into somebody that he hadn't seen in years, and that was so much fun to him. It meant more to him than any fish he caught or anything like that. So that stuff's all great. But this is fishing we're talking about, and it is competitive. So let's go ahead and let people know about the prizes and different things that are available. Would you mind doing that, Howard?
Sure, absolutely. Fishing tournament goes on from March 25th to April 16th. You just register the largest fish over 28 inches at the Freeman Walleye Days Challenge at Exxon Mobil Station in Nakusa. If you would like to release the fish, you can absolutely call my telephone number, 715-571-7550, and we'll get somebody down to the river to register the fish for you so you can release it. We have prizes from first through third place, $1,000 first place Visa card sponsored by Nakusa Walleye Days. Second place prize is a $400 gift card sponsored by Nakusa Mobile in Pool Q from Jacoby Custom Q's. Third place prize is a $300 gift card from Nakusa BP and a guided outing fishing trip from Fish and Time Guide Service.
Another thing that has evolved over the years, the prizes are really good. Like the prizes have always been good, but those are some really nice prizes.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really encouraged with the prizes this year.
Yeah. Certainly want to thank all of the great sponsors. There are so many sponsors for this event. I don't know if we have enough time in the hour show to mention all of them. I don't know if you guys wanted to mention them or not, but if you did, I'll give you a chance to do that. Otherwise, just a big shout out to all of them and a great thank you to all of them. Especially, I see WFHR and WIRI in here, and I want that the rest of the...
For
as long as Nakusa Walleye Days are going on, I want to see our call letters on this event.
Absolutely.
This is an event we should be a part of.
We're absolutely happy to have you on there.
We love it. We love the work that you guys do with this. We also want to make sure that we're mentioned that as this event goes on, it wraps up with Take a Kid Fishing Day. This is one of the fun parts to the event to me. I got to take advantage of this as a little kid. Some of the first fishing I learned was on this day and stuff. Is that one of the funnest parts of this day for you guys?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. We love it. That's why we do Nakusa Walleye Days, mainly so we can put on the free children's fishing contest. It's great to see the kids come in and their smiling faces registering their fish.
There's a couple of sounds in this world that you always want to hear. A kid laughing. Like that. There's nothing like a child laughing. And the look on a kid's face when they see that fish come out of the water on their hook. There's nothing like that. The look on their face, the expression, it never gets old. That's an awesome thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's great. We have a more than 150 kids come out every year for that tournament. It's great.
It's a great thing, too, for the community, for the area. We're all looking for things to get us outside a little bit more, get us doing things. And this is one of those events that just pulls you out, makes you want to get out there. The weather is working with us and everything, so that has been nice. What are some other things about the event that maybe we can tell people about that we haven't touched on? Is there anything else you guys want to touch on?
We also have the Jim Freeman Memorial Charity Challenge on April 15th. That goes from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, you register 5 fish. Longest total length wins the tournament. You can come down to the city garage and register for that, or we have flyers on at the local businesses around the area that you can mail in your application for that.
Do you guys, I hate to put you on the spot or anything, do you off the top of your head, do you remember the biggest fish caught during walleye days? Or one of the bigger ones or anything?
31 and a half, I think, is the biggest one that we've ever registered.
Not bad.
Yeah, we almost, I think it'll just nearly every year we get one right around 30 inches. Nice. There were a couple of years not in recent history that we didn't have one registered. So.
Oh, wow.
So it does happen.
Yeah. When it comes to registering, let's give people that information again, where you can register your fish.
You can register your fish at ExxonMobil in Nakusa. The address is 100 Market Street, Nakusa, Wisconsin. You can also, again, call my cell phone number at 715-571-7550. We'll be happy to come down to the river and register the fish for you so you can let it go.
Yeah, and that's something to keep in mind. And certainly throughout the whole event here, have fun with the event. And guys, I can't thank you enough for taking the time, coming in here, hanging out with us today, and talking about this and the work that you guys have done with it, this event. Certainly the history that you have with it, Howard, greatly appreciated. Big thank you to your dad, to your family for carrying this event on and everything. Dan doing such a good job as our mayor in Nakusa and hosting, helping this event go on. Appreciate that work. And certainly to all these sponsors, to all the volunteers out there, extreme big thank you to all of you. Enjoy yourselves. Dan,
I did have one other thing that I'd like to mention. The city recently put a kiosk down at the city boat landing. Makes it really easy to get your boat launch pass, either a daily or you can actually purchase a yearly one there. The kiosk, if you pay for an annual pass, it prints out an actual card that you can re-swipe and prints out a ticket that you put on your dashboard to let us know that you've got a pass. And I think that's going to be a great addition to the boat landing. And also a lot of all the launch fees go to improve that boat landing. And we recently developed a master plan to try and develop that area a little bit more, make a little bit more accessible for shore fishing. And I think the two biggest things probably that'll happen soon, we're going to be putting in a handicap accessible fishing pier near the boat landing, and also expanding the parking lot and trying to get the traffic direction a little bit more cleaned up, so it's a little easier to get in and out of the boat landing. So that is going to be exciting to see happen.
That's great info, Dan. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's going to speed things. That's going to be good over there.
Make it easy.
Yeah, yeah. I've been on the fence about buying a boat. Now I'm going to buy one. Now I got to get a boat. Got to get a boat now.
There you go.
We can go to our friends at Badger Marine.
Yes, there again, a perfect place to go. Appreciate you guys so much. Again, Nakusa Walleye Day is going on now until April 16th. Encourage you to look up their Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up on all the great events going on over there. Just type into your search bar, Nakusa Walleye Days, and like the page. Keep up on the information that way. And guys, again, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate the time.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We'll be talking about this event all the way up until the 16th, so we'll be sending some people to Nakusa.
Great.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Big thank you to Dan and Howard for joining us, talking to Nakusa Walleye Days. Great conversation with them.
Yeah, it's great to hear the history about that.
Yeah. I encourage you again to look up Nakusa Walleye Days on your Facebook page. Like the page. Keep up to date on all the cool things that they're doing over there.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, we got to send a shout out to Katrina Hintner. I had this story all locked up, and we were going to get into it the other day, and she mentioned, I think Melissa might find that interesting. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to save this for Mel. So okay. Thank you, Katrina.
Katrina.
I think she may have a point there. I just reading it a second time, I was like, oh, yeah, she may have. I think she was right. Evidence of cheese making to circumvent lactose intolerance found 6,000 years ago in Poland.
Really?
Yeah.
6,000 years. That's awesome.
Analysts of Neolithic pottery shards shows that in Northern Europe, where poor soils and low sunlight made primitive agriculture extremely difficult, people were making cheese in places like Poland, potentially as far back as 9,000 years ago. Examination, wow. That's crazy. Examinations of the perforated vessels not only found the presence of dairy protein caseins, which suggests the creation of curd-enriched products from raw milk, but casein from cows, goats, and sheep suggests that they were making a kind of lager long before most other forms of modern food production ever reached the continent.
Huh.
Common arguments for cutting out dairy products from the diet stem from the idea that we have only been consuming dairy for a few thousand years, and that no other mammal consumes lactose after infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than a few, new research points to dairy consumption from herd animals as far back as at least the 6th millennium BCE, or 8,000 years ago. Researchers from the University of York point out that lactose intolerance would have been common in nearly all European populations at that time, but that the processing methods still used today to create yogurt and some of these other things were being used to overcome this intolerance.
Yeah, because having those probiotics in there helps.
So we've been doing this, like the because I've heard this before from people. My daughter, as I mentioned, my youngest is lactose intolerant, and I remember hearing from about her or friends of mine that are lactose intolerant. It's in your head, or it's you know, just get over it. Or
it's actually in my gut.
Right? Yes. Nice. Joke of the day. Oh, well done, Melissa. That's good. Oh, that's good. I'm remembering that one. So this is not only does it bring more facts and data and evidence to this, that this has been
history to it.
Yeah, but just cool history. Yes. It's just interesting. I think it's very noteworthy for those struggling with lactose intolerance and just in general. But also the history end of it just seems cool to me.
Yeah, that they were toying around with that 6,000 years ago. That's crazy to me.
These vessels that they found, some small numbers of vessels had a white mineral residue that, when examined via prometic and lipid analysts, revealed evidence of dairying from cattle and caprids.
Hmm.
Probably both sheep and goats.
Interesting.
That's pretty interesting.
And goats for sure have less... lactose in their milk than cows. And some people who are just mildly lactose intolerant can handle goat better.
Yeah.
I haven't had an opportunity to try it very much, so I don't even know.
All this shows that the clever ancient Poles were managing to circumvent their own genetic lactose intolerance to add a sustainable and protein-rich food source to their diets.
Mm-hmm. Without making themselves miserable.
Way to go, Polish people. Way to go.
Yeah, way to be.
Yeah. Today, people who are lactose intolerant can still eat well-aged cheeses owing to the removal of lactose both during the cheese-making and aging process, although they probably don't realize this knowledge is as ancient as pottery.
No, I did not.
I definitely did not know that. That is a wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, I can't, because one of the things that stands out to me about this, the things that we're talking about, yes, I wonder, the more you dig into this, no pun intended, the more they dig into it, I wonder how much this will actually, like, how much more will come of this.
Mm-hmm.
And what more history we might uncover from something like that.
Well, and the more that we can delve into past history, there's so much we've learned now with being able to do like radar penetrating science mm-hmm. with that and mm-hmm. searching the ground without actually digging it up,
yeah.
which is really cool because they can get down a lot deeper than they would be able to before. And the science that has evolved in dating stuff is,
yeah.
it blows my mind. It's really, really cool.
It never gets old to me. It's really interesting. One more interesting story for you here before we go to Melissa's news. We go to Copenhagen, Denmark, where residents of Greenland have switched to daylight saving time and moved their clocks 1 hour forward this weekend for the very last time.
Somebody was going to do it first.
Yeah, well, leave it to Greenland. Unlike most of Europe, Greenlanders will leave their clocks untouched come autumn when daylight saving time ends. While Europe and the U.S. debates whether to stick to the twice yearly practice, Greenland, a vast Danish semi-independent territory in the Arctic, has resolved to permanently remain only 3 hours behind Copenhagen and most other European countries instead of four. Greenland's parliament voted to stick to daylight saving time year-round on November 24th last year. Officials say it will give Greenlanders another hour of daylight in the afternoon and more time to do business with Europe and farther afield. Given their geographic position and everything, I'm a little surprised they might not have done this sooner.
Yeah.
Sparsely populated, Greenland belongs to the North American continent, but geopolitically, it is European.
Mm-hmm.
So given that factor, too, Greenland is part of the Danish realm and is a southernmost tip. And the southernmost tip is more than 3,200 some kilometers west of Copenhagen. It's 100,000 people, mainly Inuit, indigenous people who chiefly live on the west coast in small towns and hamlets or remote coastal settlements.
So that time works best for them to yeah. stay in long term. But mm-hmm. for us here in the United States, standard time would be better, which I think many of us didn't realize until you talked about, well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I didn't realize that until we were talking about it just, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because you think daylight savings, I don't know, just because of what it's called? Is that what we think that one would
yeah.
be?
Yeah, yeah, I think, maybe.
But standard time is actually what would give us the most daylight hours year round.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, like the 4-day work week and stuff. This is a conversation that's not going anywhere. It's going to just keep coming. We are going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We're going to get out of the way. We're going to let Melissa's news do its thing. We will come back and have some more for you right here on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here. We are looking for a new bumper person. We need somebody new to do our bumpers. I do not need to hear this. I heard this.
I'm laughing at you, and I'm sorry I had my mute on. You keep doing this. Do you just hate 90s music?
I don't. I love 90s music. Seth knows the music that drives me crazy, though.
And that's what he picks?
I have no idea. He actually, he does this very, I think, actually very, very smart. He does it without any feeling. If it was a hit in the 90s, he's going to play it on there.
Right. Because I like the opener to that song.
Yeah, it's a sweet opener.
Not like the whole song, but.
Melissa and James here with you. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope it is treating you well. We've got a good one here. The list of most and least stressed out states.
Okay.
Wallet Hub just put out a new study that ranked every state from the most stressed out to the least. Who is mellow and who is not? The rankings are based on 41 different factors across four different stresses: work-related, money-related, family, and health and safety.
Okay.
Based on all of that, the most stressed-out states are mostly in the South: Mississippi, Louisiana, New Mexico, West Virginia.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are very poor states.
Mm-hmm. Continuing with the list, Nevada, Arkansas, Alabama, Kentucky, Texas, and Oklahoma. So, I mean, you know, it seems like when it comes to a lot of these lists, the southern states end up showing up first. Mm-hmm. And they usually end up dominating the segment or what have you. This one, by far and away, I don't know if I've ever seen one where it's so evident, where it's so dominant with southern states.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that,
but then if you also look at poverty rates and you also look at homicide rates, those are also areas where the South is going to dominate.
There's some other factors, too. A lot of factors. There's so many layers to a subject like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hopefully brings attention to the states that need the attention.
Yes.
As far as the mellow, relax, man. Everything's fine. Everything's cool. What about the least stressed out states? How about them? Who's hanging out? Just like taking it easy. See what happens. What's going on? I think I could give you 50 guesses, Melissa. And I know there are 50 states. I could give you 50 guesses, and I still don't think you would get this one.
I'm gonna guess Wyoming.
That's a good guess. Actually, I think that's a very good guess. I don't see Wyoming in the top five, but still, good guess. I would have gone with Wyoming or one of those smaller states. I think that's a good one.
Well, smaller population.
Smaller population is what I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly not by size.
I was trying to decide Montana or Wyoming, but tell us what they are.
It is Minnesota.
Hey!
Minnesota at number one.
Nice.
Utah is next, then New Hampshire, South Dakota, Massachusetts, Iowa, New Jersey, Connecticut, North Dakota, and Virginia.
Yeah, North and South Dakota.
If
I was close.
Yeah. I will say, while I haven't known like hundreds and hundreds of people from Minnesota in my lifetime, all the people that I've met from Minnesota, every one of them, this fits.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very relaxed. Very hard to get bent out of shape. A lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wanted to look, of course, continuing on the list, staying in the Midwest here, looking at things. Let us see. Well, Alaska came in at 13. That's kind of interesting. Not in the Midwest, I know. Georgia at 15. So again, in the southern
that's
state.
Pretty good.
Yeah. California at 22, right behind Michigan. Mm. New York 20, Michigan 21, California 22, then Ohio, then Florida at 24. So that's an interesting group right there.
Yeah.
Hmm. Montana at 26, Illinois at 27. Hmm.
Where's Wisconsin?
35.
Wow.
Ranks 35. So I would just
bottom half of the pack there.
Yeah. Yeah. Bigger stressors for Wisconsinites include work-related stress, money-related stress. Those are the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Health and safety and family still up there, but not as bad as they are in some other states.
Mm.
That is interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
And this kind of stuff, this kind of data. You know, what do you make of this? Now, we can make jokes, we can have fun with it and stuff, and that's what we hopefully do a little bit of. But I also think it's data that we can use to, we could be less stressful. What can we do to do that? What can we do to counter that? I think that, you know, we've seen a lot of this happening because when we talk about the great migration that happened when people going from a job to a career or a job to a being their own boss or any of these things, we don't talk about the majority of this has happened here in the Midwest. The stats show it. The Great Migration didn't happen necessarily with California and New York first starting this off. It started here in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and grew to the other country, other state, the other coasts. I don't know if that's going to do anything. You know, these numbers are going to do anything and make anything like that happen or anything like that. But I think the more and more information we get like this, the more we're aware of. We're at least understanding. Hey, this is something. Wow, I live in a stressful area. Oh, I live in a stressful state. I don't think that's good. I want to counter that. I want to bring that down. How can I do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that there's a lot of good ideas on all sides of the aisle. We're talking the politicians, the businessmen, the laymen, you and I, mm-hmm. the people. And what we need to have is more conversations about this, because there are good ideas. They're talking about wanting a flat tax in the state. It's worked for other states. The implications of trying to do it here seem really insurmountable at this point. Just looking at it on its base level, because we have lost so much funding in areas that are super important, like education. And if we're going to lose a ton of funding in that, how are we going to educate our population here when they keep taking the funding away by, you know, inflation? It's not like they're just pulling it away, but it's happening. And it's happened over the course of the last 50 years here in Wisconsin specifically. But talking about a flat tax, there are good ideas with that, because it is potentially going to bring more businesses here, because that's attractive to them. More businesses, more jobs, better paying jobs, which is going to attract more families here. What's not going to attract families, James? Specifically women who are of childbearing years. No abortion of health care in this state, because abortion is health care.
Yeah.
I will say that until the day I die, because I have so many people that I love and that are close to me who would be dead now without health care, specifically reproductive health care. Mm-hmm. And those things they're all big problems, and they're all things that people just want to mash their heads against each other about, because they don't want to come to an agreement because this side's right, that side's wrong, and both sides feel that way. But we need to have those conversations to bring people together to help solve some of these really big problems, because both sides have good ideas. They just don't want to say that about the other side, and that is immature and a little pathetic.
It is lame, pathetic, all of the above. The idea, we have to normalize the idea that a Republican can say, hey, that Democrat had a good idea. The Democrat can say, hey, that Republican, not bad, I like that. We need to normalize this
They're both supposed to be working together for the people, not mm-hmm. for the party.
Yeah. I will, for the rest of my life, think of Herschel Walker as this example, and is not picking on Republicans, because Democrats have done similar things too. It is of the shining example of person over party. Mm-hmm. Herschel Walker should not be. I don't know if Herschel Walker what he should be in charge of, but definitely not a. I wouldn't feel comfortable putting Herschel Walker in charge of a football game. Like, let alone in charge of other things like that. But you heard people coming out of the woodwork saying, look, we don't care. He has an R in front of his name. We're voting for him. Like, that is insane.
That is ridiculous.
We've had dead people get votes because they have an R or a D in front of their name. How much more insanity can we get when it comes to this stuff? Like, this is where I'll come back to it. And I know people push back on this one sometimes, but ranked choice voting.
Oh, I think that is definitely the future of democracy.
I think it's just a matter of time. I genuinely think it's just a matter of time before that happens. And I welcome it. I welcome it. I welcome people having to no longer be able to lean on their party, but have to lean on what they're supposed to
issues.
Be leaning. Issues.
And,
yes.
And what is what the people want, what change we want, what, you know, things we want to keep in place, what we feel is keeping us safe, and the things that are causing us harm.
No party deserves your loyalty. This country deserves your loyalty. The people deserve your loyalty.
Ranked choice voting would make it would make politics about issues again, as opposed to party, because then they have to talk about what they stand for instead of what they're, you know, better than the other person that the other person stands for and that they don't. It's about what they stand for and what they're going to do.
We are going to take a quick, because you just worded it perfectly, Melissa. I can't top that. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back with some that I write stories, including one about spoilers Melissa sent over. We got to dive into. We have to dive into this one.
It's pretty funny.
That's coming up for you. Did want to make sure a programming note to everybody out there. It is a ball night tonight, everyone. Wisconsin Badgers continuing their run in the NIT tournament, taking on North Texas. Both of them are a 3 seed. Tip-off is at 5 tonight, right here on WFHR. When the Badgers win tonight, we will have their next game, the final of the NIT tournament, this Thursday. That game will be at 7:30, and of course, the Badgers win. We'll have that game for you, so be sure to be looking for that. But roll Wisconsin on Wisconsin, rooting for the Badgers today.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show, everyone. WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. See, now I completely take it all back. Now Seth can stay. Seth can stay. Night shift, Commodores. Gets me. Nice. So that brings me back to like being 8, like right away. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there. Thank you to the best listeners in radio, every one of you, for joining us. Appreciate the time with you. Thanks so much, everybody. Mm-hmm. Melissa and I are going to take you to the top of the hour, wrap up the show, have some fun while we're at it with some Then I Write stories and good stories of the day. End the show on a positive, but I've gotten a couple of texts and some messages from some of our listeners throughout the show today, and I really greatly appreciate it. I know Melissa does too, not to speak for her, but I know it means a lot.
Oh, we love to hear from our listeners.
Yeah. Thank you for the support and the encouragement, everybody. We appreciate you out there, and we're in this together. We're all connected. We're all a team, and this show is as much yours as it is Mel and I's.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about them. You that are listening.
Yes. And with that being said, please don't spoil the ending of this show to anybody who has not heard it yet. Okay? Don't go do it. That's not cool, everybody. It's not cool. Don't do that. Don't let everybody. Don't go tell. Hey, did you know that Dan and Howard showed up on the morning show? No, I didn't know. Don't spoil it for. No. It's not the same thing.
No, not quite. I know that spoilers are one of your major pet peeves.
Yes, yes. It may be my biggest one. It genuinely may be. I don't have a lot of pet peeves. It takes actually a lot to get under my skin, which may be surprising to some people. but that is one. It just gets me every single time. When I was a kid, my Aunt Marion, who I love so much, my Aunt Marion is the definition of your stereotypical Italian. Very loud, very going to tell you... No filter. Going to tell you exactly what she thinks and feels, and I love every bit of her.
And loves you unconditionally.
Yes. Oh, couldn't be a better aunt. She's great to me, except when it comes to spoilers. when we were little kids, we were sitting back, and we didn't get to watch a lot of cartoons, but my sister and I had never seen Peter Pan, the Disney cartoon, and we didn't know the story. We didn't know Peter Pan and Wendy and the Lost Boys and all that. This was new to us. So we were watching that with my cousin Lisa, my Aunt Marion's daughter, and we're just loving it and everything. And she comes walking into the room, and I can't believe an alligator ate him. Like, what? What?
Oh, no.
Like, what are you talking about? And it's like in the beginning of the movie and everything.
And it hadn't even happened.
And so the whole movie, we're waiting for Peter to get eaten by an alligator or the hook to get eaten and all that and stuff. And all I could think about through the whole movie was an alligator is going to show up and eat somebody.
No.
Now, as a little kid, I didn't know what foreshadowing was. I think that they kind of tell you that already in the movie and stuff. But, you know, as a kid, it bothered me. And it just has stuck with me, the idea of spoiling things ever since. Melissa knows this, and being a good co-host, she sent over a story from Reddit. Do you want to touch on this, or you want me to? I got it in front of me.
Go right ahead, because you have it in front of
you. Yeah. So I'm just going to go ahead and read through the article here, and this is from a person who posted this on Reddit. The subject is, a woman at work ruined a TV series for me by telling me the ending, even though I asked her not to. How do I pay her back tenfold? He doesn't binge TV shows, but his coworker does. Due to a series of time-consuming circumstances, he was not able to start watching the season as she did. He told her right away that he only watches an episode per week. She binges stuff and burned through the whole thing. She would ask me if I finished the season almost every day for at least 2 weeks. I told her each time that I watched one episode per week, so that she jokingly responded saying that she is going to spoil the ending for me on Monday and too bad if I did not finish the season. I politely asked her not to. Monday morning, she sent me an instant message on our work computer. I assumed it was work-related, but it turns out it was her spoiling the ending of the show for me. She then came to my desk and asked if I read the message with a big grin on her face. I said that is this the real ending? She said it is, and I told you I was going to spoil it for you. I was a bit annoyed, but remained cordial and changed the subject to something at work-related. I acknowledged that she could be messing with me, and that the spoilers she gave me could be fake, but don't want to actually read reviews because she doesn't want to plant. Mm-hmm. He plans on watching this the rest of the season, but doesn't want to be as enthusiastic. But he's not as enthusiastic about it. Like, it's been spoiled for him. It's been ruined for him.
Yeah, because even if you don't know if that's the actual ending, it could be.
Here is his question, and here is one of the few times we've ever been able to do this, an interactive That Ain't Right story. We want to hear from you. You can call up right now at 424-2600, or you can email us, again, james.maleff@civicmedia.us or melissa.k@civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Email us your revenge. If it turns out she really did spoil the ending for me, how should he pay her back tenfold? I get angry every time I think about what she did. Ultimately, I have lost a lot of interest in watching this season, and it's a shame because this is one of my favorite shows of all time. You feel for this person. Yeah. I want to help this person.
Mm-hmm.
I have said many times on the air that revenge is good in movies and TV shows. It doesn't really add up to a lot in real life. Eye for an eye leaves everyone blind and all that. But that's on more serious stuff. That's on more heavy level stuff and everything. On a level like this, have all the revenge you want. I encourage it. Go for it. She asked for it, if you ask me. I don't care that she warned him. Like, you can't say something in jest and do the whole nervous laugh thing and expect somebody to take you seriously.
Well, and it's also just not being considerate of another person. It's something that he was really into, and she's like, oh, well, if you don't finish it by Monday, like, who has time to watch 3 seasons of a show, or, you know, however many episodes, in a weekend? Just because you binge-watch TV doesn't mean everybody does.
Yeah, and the whole point of this whole thing is to be able to watch at your own pleasure, at your own, when you want to watch. Like, it's so messed up to me, the idea of people, like, putting their own feelings and their own thought, well, I watched it all, or, well, I did this. Well, it ain't about you. It's like, in politics, whataboutism. It's the lamest, easiest, it shows the least amount of intelligence to me when I see people do the whataboutism. Like, I immediately, first thought in my head, that person has very few brain cells. Because it's the easiest thing in the world to do. It's what little kids do. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I saw you doing it. Oh, but this. Oh, but that. Oh, but what about this person? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little kid thing. It's it's very similar to me with this whole spoiler thing and with this argument. I don't know what a great revenge would be. Ruining a show of hers, it doesn't seem like that's even possible, and it doesn't feel like it would add up to it.
It's also petty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but kind of any response you're going to do
would
be very petty.
Revenge is petty.
Revenge is petty. Yeah, yeah. But I did read through the things that, because people posted on this a lot.
Oh, I didn't get to read any of that, no.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, there's one person that recommended, if your work has a few people, put a can of deodorant on her desk when she's out of the office. Even better if it's in a small bag.
Oh, wow.
Let her think she stinks and somebody has left a subtle hint for her. it's petty without being, you know, overly mean.
Yes, yes.
Because all of us most of us, are body conscious and aware, especially if you work in an office around other people. Mm. But, that was a connection that the two of them had. And that was kind of, it sounds like, from the post, their work relationship.
Yeah.
She ruined it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think that the best revenge that... Everybody else said on here, one was if you hear her talking with another group of people and they're talking about a TV show or something, just walk by and say, careful, she might spoil it for you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I would not. I mean, she's spoil lady. I'm calling her spoiler, or I'm calling her rotten eggs, or something like that. rotten eggs spoiled. Like anything that is spoiled. Spoiled milk. I don't know. Anything. Mm. She's got a new nickname in the office, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And other people are saying, just ignore her, cut her out of your work relationship because she's not worth it. And, I mean, if you're going to rise above, that is probably the best thing to do. Most professional thing to do.
It tends to be, especially when it comes to work relationships. I've never been good at office politics or office drama or anything like that. And when it comes to that kind of stuff, I choose my battles very wisely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this happened, if somebody did this to me in studio here or something like that, I probably just let karma take care of it.
Yes.
I feel like karma's always got your back. Karma, you know, on both sides. You know, you do, you know, things that aren't kosher, like this lady or something like that. It finds you.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good story, though, Melissa. That was good. I read that and I was cringing while reading. I've watched horror movies that didn't make me cringe as much as that article did.
I knew it would do that too. Sorry.
Nicely done.
I read it right after we talked about that too, pet peeve segment. So
that's funny.
It was too good.
Mm. Yeah, I'm curious to see what kind of revenge our listeners will come up with. We'll see what happens with that one. And
how inventive can you be?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or has this happened to you? Has somebody done this to you? We want to hear your story.
Great question. That's a good one. Yeah, I'd like to know the stories of those too. And when it comes to this or any really local stories or anything, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking. It doesn't have to be, you know, it may not seem like a big deal to you, but maybe it is to our listeners. Share it with us, everybody.
Oh, we would love to help promote your things going on, your events, especially nonprofit events and anything happening in the area. Email me at melissa.kaye@civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to some good stories of the day. Let's wrap up the show with that.
All right.
Some guy on Twitter says ChatGPT saved his dog's life.
Really?
Yeah. She was anemic, and a vet diagnosed her with a tick-borne illness, but the treatments didn't help, and their advice was to just wait and see. Instead, he pasted the dog's blood results into ChatGPT, which said it might be something called EMA, immune-medicated hemolytic anemia. He had a different vet run more tests, and they confirmed ChatGPT was right.
Really? Wow.
They got his dog on the right treatment plan, and she's on her way to a full recovery.
Oh. Well, there's an instance where AI can be helpful in coordination with human brains.
I was talking about this earlier with so many subjects. I think this is where the real groundbreaking things are going to happen. It's not with what we invent.
Either or.
Yeah, it's the organic stuff that comes out of these things. The stuff that we almost accidentally come across and like, oh my God, that's a great resource. We're going to do that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
A guy in Oregon pulled an elderly woman from a burning house last month.
Ooh.
And they reunited this past Wednesday so she could thank him for saving her life.
Aw, that's sweet.
Earlier this month, a woman in Australia got bit multiple times by a blue-ringed octopus, one of the world's most venomous animals. There's no known anti-venom, so many people die, but somehow she's fine. Doctors aren't sure why, but she had a little stomach pain, and that is it.
A natural immunity to one of the most venomous... I didn't know octopus were venomous.
Yeah. Thank you, Melissa. Like, just a quick pause here. I didn't know that octopuses could do that. That seems unfair. They've already got eight arms.
I mean, they're awesome creatures.
Oh, they're awesome.
Super smart.
Octopuses are wild. They're amazing. They're awesome creatures. But it doesn't seem fair that they got the eight arms and they're venomous. Some are venomous. That's part of the, just doing a little digging on this, and I'm going to do more digging. Part of it is they're wondering if we've evolved to a point where some things aren't as venomous as they used to be to us. And they're also wondering if this lady may have a cure in her.
Maybe, because sometimes that's how they find cures.
That's like a sci-fi movie.
That stuff happens in
it's
movies.
It's like a superpower.
Yeah. That's just wild. Like, I understand that may not be groundbreaking news or anything like that, but shouldn't that be like in major headlines? Like, shouldn't that be out there? I would think that's pretty big. That's pretty huge, I would think.
That's pretty awesome. And looking into it, there are 4 extremely venomous species of octopus.
Wow. And I did want to touch on this real quickly as well. Of course, Wisconsin Badger basketball. That's our good story. That's on the radio tonight. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, your Badgers continuing in the NIT tournament. Tip-off is at 5 tonight on Wisconsin as they take on North Texas. Great show today, Melissa. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Yes, you too. And I'd also like to mention, 1 week from today is our live election coverage on Civic Media Network starting at 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 4th. So make sure you tune in.
CivicMedia.us, where you can go for all your podcasts under the Civic Media umbrella. Mel, you have a great day. We'll talk later.
You too, James. Thanks.
Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.